says greenville.com. Our very good friend, Will Vandervoort from the ClemsonInsider.com, he joins us right now as he does every single Wednesday about this time. What's up, Willie B?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I was going to wish Kelly a happy birthday. And, you know, that happened. So, that's out the window.
Well, if I take it back. I take it back. Just a joke.
Do you... Let me ask this.
Thanks,
we know that you don't own the entire Luke Bryan discography. Over under 0.5 songs in the entire Luke Bryan discography that you own.
Over and under two.
Two? So it's two.
I think it's two, yeah.
Okay.
Which two?
I'm not 100% sure. There could be
Rain is a good thing
that stuck in there. Yeah, there could be a three that snuck in there at some point. I'm not sure, but I would set it at two at least, you know, and that way I feel safe.
You know, I was telling Leah the other day that my country music, and some people say, oh, they haven't been country music since 1994 or whatever. Like, that's fine.
Earlier
but
than that.
My country rock or whatever it is, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's before 1994, Paul.
There was no country after Johnny Cash died. My country playlist gets more expensive because of baseball. Because you sit hours before, and you know this, hours before games, you get to the stadium, and you hear the BP playlist, and you get songs. So I would imagine that a Luke Bryan song or two stuck in for that reason, right? And that is one of many things that's bad about not having a full baseball season.
Well, obviously, I'm a redneck at heart. So I've been listening to country music my whole life. But where I was the greatest influence for me was when I worked at Cracker Barrel back in my college days.
There you go.
They have the country music stations going on, and so in the back, and I was a cook and stuff and did all that. That's all you hear is country music. And so that's where my love for country music really grew was when I worked at Cracker Barrel, because I just would sit there and sing all the songs as I was working.
Cracker Barrel and baseball. Perfect. You're going to learn a lot of country music at those two locations. There's no doubt. Willie B, I want to ask you about, before we get into pressing matters of the day and news matters, I don't know if you saw this, but Ross Taylor tweeted out this crazy stat that the only national championship winning starting quarterback for Clemson to be all ACC in the same year they won the title was Homer Jordan in 1981. Have you heard that stat before?
I did not know that.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, which goes even better with my argument on our website the other day and our message boards. We had, who wore number three the best in Clemson football history? And of course, me growing up in the 80s and being and remember that 1981 season, I threw Homer Jordan in there. That's my pick. And of course, some people agree with me. Some people, Vic Beasley, obviously comes to mind. But I think that right there just helps my argument, Kelly. That is a crazy stat. I did not realize. You would think Deshaun Watson would have got it, but I guess Lamar Jackson got it that year. And then last year, they didn't win it, so the year before, I believe, who got it?
Willie V. Wait for this one. It was Ryan Finley, which I'm still mad about.
Oh, you're my so goodness. Mad. Are you kidding me?
You're so mad.
Oh, my gosh. It was so bad, I forgot.
It's a disgrace.
It was 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
Great stat there by Ross Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he's an up-and-coming Tim Bray, we all know. So,
yes, for
you know,
sure.
So Ross is working on it. That's definitely a Tim Beret stat. I'm surprised Tim Beret didn't pull that out first.
Hey, fun fact, Ryan Finley threw a 10-yard out route in their bowl game that season in 2018, and just now it found its receiver. So good news on that front.
I think the three or four he threw at Clemson still haven't landed.
I know. Never have I ever seen a guy get more air on a 10-yard out than Ryan Finley. Boy, I tell you what. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that nonsense. All right, there has been more talk, and I just get the feeling. I've talked to some folks this week. I feel like people are scared to be too optimistic because they think if we're too optimistic that we won't have football. But mm-hmm. I feel like it's important that we correctly contextualize our conversations. I know you guys have some stuff on the Insider Report, and I think we're on the same page here. I have not heard from a single person at Clemson that has talked even remotely about not having a season. So the people who are saying, to me, it's not even, it doesn't even work to say, hey, if you want a football season, do this. There's going to be a football season. If you want to cash in on your season tickets, then we might need to wear masks and do some different things. Am I wrong that is not even really in the thought process right now?
Yeah, you're right, Clark, that I have not heard the word if at Clemson at all through this whole process. It's been what we're going to do during football season. And
right.
So it's right now they're more in a go to, okay, not there's not an if or anything like that. It's like, how many fans can we get into the stands? That's kind of where they're at now. And if we do have fans in the stands, what do we do with those other areas such as concessions and the bathroom and parking and tailgating and how they work through all those logistics, which those are really more of the logistic nightmares actually than the actual people in the stands, to be honest with you. So that's kind of where Clemson is right now. There's nothing but optimism about having a football season at Clemson. I haven't heard anything to tell me otherwise at this point in time. And, anybody who knows that's been following us, as we've been giving the inside reports and stuff like that, that's kind of where, we've been saying from the beginning that there's a lot of positivity coming out of the Clemson camp, and that, from everything we're hearing, they're just kind of trucking ahead towards the football season.
Well, Evie, we've been talking all-decade team here on Out of Bounds. Last week, I saw Packer and Durham did an all-decade team for the ACC, and I believe it was one of them had Deshaun. I think Packer had Deshaun and Wes had Jameis Winston, and you wrote an article on the Clemson Insider about how Deshaun is the ACC's best QB of the last decade, and it's not even close. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and the reason I say it, and Packer had, he agreed with me, that Deshaun Watson is great, not because he threw all the touchdown passes he did all the yards he did and won championships. When you look at Deshaun Watson, what I thought was the deciding factor why it wasn't even close is what he did off the field. I mean, graduated in 3.5 years, the community service projects that he would do around Clemson, just the kind of guy he is. And as I said in my thing, Deshaun's the kind of guy, young man, you would have your daughter marry. That's the guy you would want your daughter to marry. That's the kind of guy you're
definitely not Jameis.
That's where I was going.
Just had to add that in.
Not to say Lamar Jackson isn't that guy. Lamar Jackson just didn't win a championship. He could never get over the hump. Now, how much is that his fault? I don't think he had the players around him that Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson had around them. So that definitely helps in that. But he didn't win a championship, and he didn't win the big games when they had to win big games. He put up impressive numbers, unbelievable numbers and stats, and of course we all know his ability as a football player, what he can do with the ball, running and passing, is just amazing, like nobody we've ever seen. But, he could never get over the hump and win a championship, and I think that's a big deal, especially with me. And then, Jameis Winston's the only guy, and this is why I disagree with Wes Durham. Wes says, well, he picked Jameis Winston because he's the only one to win the Heisman and a national championship. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. But he's also the only one to, get accused of something that was horrible. And also the only one who stole soda pop from – I can't believe I just said soda pop. Stole soda from Burger King and stole crab legs or whatever it was from a Publix. So, and then stood up on a table and said something I'm not dare going to say on this radio. That kind of throws Jameis Winston out the door, in my opinion, all those things.
Three things. One, thank you for not saying that on air for really our jobs. We appreciate that.
I would have had to go press that dump button. That would have been a problem.
Secondly, I hadn't heard soda pop since about 1994 at the Cracker Barrel.
Can we get a little soda pop in your old man voice?
Oh, man, I remember when they used to pour soda pop out of glass bottles only. We didn't have cans or plastic. What are these newfangled machines? They just pour it out from a hole in the side. What is that? Will Vandenberg, your thoughts on soda pop?
It's called pop. That's what they called it back in my day.
Oh, man. We're having too much fun with Will Vandenberg, theclemsoninsider.com, at Steeler Will on Twitter. All right, the third thing I was going to ask you is I almost didn't even bring this up, but the boomer sizing thing, it really got to me. Not because it's a statement of fact, but I'm seeing more of this that, like, that there's reporting out that players are trying that some players want to get the virus so they don't have it during the season. To me, that's different. That's a decision that you are going to have to make. I think that's kind of crazy, but you can't keep people from doing that. What Boomer Esiason said when he said that there were other SEC programs and Clemson who were down here trying to infect all their players in this era where you can't say or do anything that even makes players even a little bit uncomfortable is the most insane thing I've ever heard. It was based on nothing. It said nothing. It was just him throwing words out, and then everyone else was like, yeah, you know, I could totally see it here from our lofty perch here in the ivory towers of New York. What do you make of that nonsense, the idiocy of Boomer Esiason saying that?
I make of it that Boomer is still mad that Clemson beat him 52-27 in his senior year at Death Valley.
You think he held a grudge for 40 years?
Yes, because I've listened to Boomer for many, many years, and he will bring up his dislike and disdain for Clemson several times throughout the course of a year. So he doesn't like Clemson, and that's why he said SEC teams and Clemson. He wanted to throw Clemson in there because he wanted to say Clemson's name, because I just know how he feels about Clemson from his days back as a player. I think there is a little bit of that you know, you got to go back and understand the rivalry back then with them and Maryland, and they did have a couple of really good games against each other. And you know, I think it goes back to some of that, and just and all the stuff that was going on at Clemson at the time. And I mean, if you go back and read articles from those days when Boomer decided to play for the Clemson players and the Maryland players, and the back and forth that would be going on, it got pretty bad at times. So I think it's just he doesn't like Clemson, Quark. I think that's what I'm going to boil it down to. And I think he just had a shot. He could throw a shot at Clemson, and he did. Unfortunately, he should be a little more careful now. He tried to be as he was saying it, but then as he kept talking, it just got worse. You're like, dude, you need to kind of shut up about that, you know, because you're accusing these programs, and in particular one that you mentioned, that they're intentionally – infecting their players like a herd immunity kind of deal is what he said. And I'm like, dude, that's just ridiculous, you know, to think that. Because as you said, in this day and age, there's no way you're going to see a college athletic department do that, you know, because that's a big no-no.
It would be the worst PR move of all time. Here's where I'll disagree a little bit, because I thought what he said about the SEC programs generally was actually worse, because we actually have numbers from Clemson. One thing I said yesterday was that we have numbers from, like, a handful of places. We're acting like those are really, really bad. We don't know if those are the best numbers ever. Now, we're getting some other ones, like Penn State hasn't had any, and some other programs haven't had any, or they've had a couple or whatever. I think Minnesota released some. Some other programs are releasing them. We know way less about the sport of college football and generally how players have tested. There's more that we don't know than we do, is what I'm trying to say really poorly here. There are schools like South Carolina who are hiding behind FERPA and HIPAA and everything else, and they won't even say anything. Do you think we will at some point get to some sort of a standard operating procedure with regards to saying what is true at the moment about coronavirus? Or is it going to be like Major League Baseball, where Major League Baseball is saying now today they don't even know if they can say, so it might just be media guessing a guy's not in the lineup, maybe he has COVID. Do we see that as maybe the future in college football?
Well, you're not going to know the names of the players because, you know, they really can't, unless the player gives the green light and says, yeah, I don't care, Coach Sweeney, if you tell him that I'm out because of COVID-19. Only if he gives the consent if that's going to happen. But I don't see that happening. Yeah, I mean, if there's a game and a guy, you know, I think, you know, if they have a report, you know, they'll say there's going to be certain players out. But it's going to be interesting. I don't think they can do it just on their own. I think they have to have the player's consent to do that, obviously. And so that's going to be up to the individual player, I guess, if that's the case. It's going to be interesting. Baseball's a little different because it's a day-to-day thing, like you said, so they can say, oh, this guy's out of lineup. You know, maybe we can figure it out. I don't know. Football, though, you know, injuries are part of the game. But right now, if you remember correctly, Quark, there is no – in the ACC, it used to be kind of a gentleman's agreement to say, okay, a guy's out. But there is no standard, oh, this guy is out right now. this guy's out. The ACC right. doesn't have that. So, you know, so a team doesn't have to report it. Remember what Wake Forest did a couple years ago with the quarterback? And that's, I'll never forget that press conference. Dabo comes in and he says, the guy said, he says, well, I didn't know. I can't remember the quarterback that was out. But he's like, I can't.
Wasn't it Walford?
Yeah, that was it. He's like, I didn't know Walford out of the game until he did. He's like, he was warming up, and then he didn't start. He's like, that was like, they can do that? And then I found out. Yes, we can. So he's like, that was like, well, I think I'm going to go down that road.
let me ask you this real quick before we wrap up. Do we think it's more likely that we won't see why players are out? Because, like, to me, if you say, so, you know, Trevor Lawrence out leg, don't, I mean, that's a horrible thing. I'm just throwing out names right now. Trevor Lawrence out leg, you know.
Got a lot of
Mike Jones out, elbow. Travis Etienne out, undisclosed. Well, obviously, undisclosed means COVID, right? I mean, so you can't just have some injuries that you're being specific about and some that you just say he's out for some mysterious reason, because then we know what it is.
Well, that's actually a way to get around it. You just, everybody's listed that's out is listed, but you don't say why they're out.
Right. That's right.
You know, so maybe that's one way you do it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it's all tackled this year, how they handle this. Because, you know, I mean, with Clemson right now, let's be honest, I mean, almost half of the football team has been infected, so I don't know if that'll be an issue with Clemson or not. I say that tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but, I mean, it's true. I mean, they've had 37 to this point that have been reported, and that's a lot, you know. And that doesn't count the antibody guys that we do know that tested positive through the antibody, so they've had it at some point, you know. So, you know, that tells you at least 40, right? You would think. So that's like 40% of the football team right there going into this current week that we're in.
There's no question. And then they're off this week. So who knows who, I mean, God forbid, but who knows who gets it and brings it back, you know? I mean, this is the kind of thing you can't control for this.
Yeah, you can. And also understand this. These are young people. You can't tell young people, just try to go back when you were 18 to 22 years old and somebody tell you to stay in your house all day. What are you going to do? Probably not going to do it because what are they talking about? I'm not going to get it. I'm young. I'm 18. I'm 19 years old. What are they talking about? I'm going to go do what I do. You can't control young people that way. You can't control anybody really that way, but especially young people. They're going to go do their thing, and they're going to be young, and they're going to be free, and things happen, you know, and you just got to hope to get past it and that everybody's okay, and, you know, you move forward. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just, you know, it's not something you can – that's the hardest part about all this, as you've been talking about, is, you know, we all got to be smart. And we all got to, you know, do what we're supposed to do. And if we can, then we'll have a football season and everything else that you were talking about. By the way, great speech earlier. I heard that. I heard the
passage
of it. Great speech. So, you know, so that's kind of what we all got to do. But it's kind of hard when you tell young people, to, you know, because they just don't think like you do as an adult. There's a reason why they're called young people. They live and learn. We all learn through our own experiences, and they're the same way. And, you know, you just can't. It's hard to control 104 football players. Let me just tell you that. So.
All right, you're right about that. Willie V, have a good long weekend, my man. We'll do it again next week. We appreciate it.
All right, Kwok. We'll talk to you later, man. Y'all be safe. And happy birthday again, Kelly.
Thank you, Willard V. Appreciate it.
All right. Will Vandiver, follow him on Twitter. Ask Steely Will on Twitter. We'll come back for more Hump Year headlines after this.
July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning is celebrating all month long. Right now, get three rooms for $129 and a free hallway when you mention my name, Mickey Plowler. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com.
Drive on through and feed the whole family with a Big Bow box for just $19.99. It's bow time.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Keep it homegrown this July 4th with Carolina Fireworks, a local, family-owned fireworks store with four upstate locations featuring brands unique to the upstate like Raccoon, Pyro Demon, Excalibur Platinum, and Demon Shells. Carolina Fireworks features custom packages or a la carte. Everything you could imagine to make your July 4th celebration a bang. On Highway 29 at the Georgia State Line, Augusta Road at 85, White Horse Road near Waffle House, and in Easley, or CarolinaFireworks.net.
Sock'em Dog Brewing and Gastro Pub, Oconee's newest full-service restaurant with a view. Named after Sock'em Dog Rapids on the Chattooga River, Sock'em Dog infuses great food with local brews and killer views. Take advantage of their full patio, inside seating, and bar seating while following state guidelines to keep you safe. Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Pair their signature craft beers with their mouth-watering burgers, wings, and flatbreads at Sock'em Dog, located at 1308 Falcons Drive in Walhalla, or visit their Facebook page for events.
Guns, guns, it's the Great American Gun Show at the Anderson Civic Center. Buy, sell, trade, guns, knives, weapons of all kinds. Bring your guns, tell your friends. This weekend, July 4th and 5th, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. Tons of guns, knives, ammo, shooting supplies, and more. Admission only $8. Don't miss the gun show at Anderson Civic Center, 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. COVID-19 guidelines in place. Tell your friends, be there.
There's no better way to celebrate the country's birthday than with the Swingin' Medallions, July 4th at Gymlet Field. And don't forget about the award-winning fireworks display. Starts around 9:30 and opening at Funk Factory 5.
Give me all you got, don't hold your back.
Drinks and food and lots of fun. The best part, it's absolutely free. Gates open at 5, shows start at 6 at Gymlet Field right here in Seneca. Get ready. It's going to be a fun celebration for our country's birthday with the Swing of Medallions and Funk Factory 5. If you'd like to know more information, it's so easy. Just check out our website or Facebook, seneca.sc.us, or check us out on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. Get ready for a great show July 4th.
The flagship station for Clemson basketball. You're listening to The Roar.
Hour three continues out of bounds. You know, there's a couple other things that I did in preparing for your birthday to honor you, Kelly.
What else did you do?
The first thing is, and if you missed any of that, go back earlier via podcast. Every hour of every show is available via podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, or on WCCPFM.com, the Roar Radio. I did two different things. One is I have actually jotted down, if you're interested in this, I have jotted down some, just a few notes of things that occurred every time your birthday in your lifetime was celebrated on a Thursday.
Oh, my God.
To see how your current birthday might compare. Are you interested at all in this?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right.
I don't know how it's going to compare to this year, considering everything's canceled.
All right. Here we go. On July 2nd, 1998, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is published in the United Kingdom.
Number one
bestseller. Indian slugger Jim Thome was 1-for-1 with 4 walks and a 2-run homer in a 7-2 win for Cleveland over Milwaukee. I thought that was interesting. They walked him 4 times because he hit a bomb. Top seed Martina Hingis falls in the Wimbledon semis to eventual champion Yana Novotna in 1998.
You know what's funny about that? We have, initially in my formative years, my parents wanted me to be a tennis player because my mom was. So we have home videos. My dad asks, Kelly, who are you going to beat at Wimbledon? And I say, Martina Hingis. He had me trained to say that.
Oh, man.
So.
Well, Yana Novotna did beat Martina Hingis on your birthday.
She accomplished it.
And then the Yankees beat the Phillies 9-8 in 11 innings to get their major league leading 58th win.
Mm.
You know who got the win for the Yankees that day out of the bullpen and extras?
Roger Clemens.
Former Furman AD Mike Buddy.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Cool. I thought it would be something that related to me. So.
Well, that's why it did. And he's been on the show before.
Well, yes, true. Very true.
All right, then we get to July 2nd, 2009, because it skipped. There was a weird skip year with the leap year messes up the calendar. So 2009 was the second time. this is your, what, 16th birthday? 15th yeah. birthday? Mm-hmm. I'm bad at math. 16th birthday? Okay.
09. Hitting the
Venus
road.
Venus and Serena Williams both won Wimbledon semis en route to the their appearance in the finals, the sister-sister finals.
It was always fun when they played in the finals.
Three things from baseball that day. The Braves' Matt Diaz, random blast from the past there. Three hits and a 5-2 win against the Phillies. Derek Lee of the Cubs hit two bombs and drove in seven in a 9-5 win over Milwaukee. And Joey Votto hit a walk-off single among one of his four hits in a 3-2 win over Arizona. So kind of a nondescript day, July 2nd, 2009.
Your boy, Joey Votto.
And then July 2nd, 2015, Greg Monroe signed a max deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. They remember that one well.
Why would they do that?
Max Scherzer lost a complete game on a walk-off. He pitched like 8 1/3. Cameron Maben walked off for the Braves against Scherzer. A 2-1 win for the Braves. Scherzer pitched the whole way and lost. Got walked off on.
Yikes.
Interesting stuff. Matthew Boyd of Toronto. This is not great. Toronto plays Boston a lot on your birthday, I guess. He faced seven batters to start the game. Four singles, two homers, and a walk, was replaced, and he got the loss in a 12-6 win for Boston. That was real bad. And Sean Diddy Combs, not charged with a felony after he basically assaulted people throughout the UCLA facility. The LADA failed to press charges. He came in just basically trying to fight people because of something happening with his son. So
happy
he started swinging around like barbells, right?
Happy for him.
Also, former Tiger Jonathan Bird shot 63 at Greenbrier, one shot off the lead on July 2nd, 2015.
Kwok, we should also mention that today, July 1st, is Canada Day. So happy Canada Day. Should we honor them?
We should honor them the way that they deserve to be honored.
In the way that we know how on Out of Bounds?
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy, this test. It's not like the Canadian citizenship test.
But how do you know the Canadian test is easy?
It's Canada. Question one, do you want to be Canadian? Question two, really?
I thought you're going to go with the other one.
Well, I don't have them labeled, so I just click one and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
You want me to click? Let's click
see.
Another one.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, this is the one.
Canada. Our home and native
Okay, how about one more for good
that's
measure?
That's the one. One more for good measure. This is ultimate disrespect to Canada.
Canada, you did it again. You even found a way to ruin this. Why? Why do we let you be a country?
Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day, everyone.
Good night, Canada. As Tony Kornheiser said.
Sorry about that.
Good night, Canada. Oh, that's really good. That was really good.
Sorry about the hotkeys there.
All right, the second thing I did in honor of your birthday is I have begun the initial process of putting together the nominees for the all-name team for college football.
Kwok, let's go. That is great news.
21 names already on the list.
How 21. Are we looking this year?
You know, ACC and AAC gave us a lot. AAC a lot on the lines of scrimmage. ACC more skill and secondary. Storm Duck and Trill Williams got me going this morning.
Storm Duck.
Those are my corners right now.
It does not Storm get Duck much better Trill than Williams. Storm Duck.
Keeping it
what
Trill.
A name.
UCF has Samuel Jackson, which is nice, as a guard. And then we also had Chris Paul from Tulsa, an offensive tackle.
Oh.
So some same names. There was obviously Pop, the wide receiver. Our wide receivers right now are Shockey, Daz, Pop, and Fat, P-H-A-T,
no.
Watts. From Tulane.
No.
Serious as a heart attack.
Yep. His first name is Fat?
Yep. You'll forget all these, so I don't mind sharing.
Is
Divine Diablo is going to be a safety, too.
Divine Diablo is still in college?
Yeah, he's a senior.
Wow. Okay, yep. Fat is Fat. Fat.
What are you talking about?
Is Fat.
What are you talking
is
about?
Is Fat overweight?
He's a receiver. I assume
okay.
not.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good.
I assume he's not a bowling
ball. If he
ball
was an offensive
outline.
Lineman, I mean, come on. That would be excellent. That would be excellent.
No. So that's the preliminary look there. We've got more time. So, and particularly if sports get real crazy, we might just decide to release these early. Who knows?
Ooh, because we normally do them in August.
We normally do it the day after the Casa Ball kickoff show, which we don't know what's happening with that either because we don't know what's happening with college football. We just need a lot of people to tell us where we're going to be and when. That's what we need. I'm ready for more humpier headlines, Kelly.
Yes.
What else we got today?
Two more humpier headlines.
All right.
We have a college football story and a Florida man. So I don't know if this came to be recently with the Mike Gundy controversy. I believe that it's been in the works prior to that. But this is from The Big Lead. ESPN has been filming an all-access series with Oklahoma State, which surprised me a little bit. Oklahoma State, of all teams. So they're filming an all-access series, and some of it, we saw a clip get out on Twitter. I think Awful Announcing actually got a hold of it, and it had to do with the controversy with Mike Gundy and Chuba Hubbard. But I'm assuming this was in the works before all that happened. So my first question is, will you watch this? And my second question is, Oklahoma State, I'm just wondering how interesting this is going to be.
Who is putting this together? Like, where are we going to be able to see this? ESPN?
Mm-hmm. ESPN.
Why?
It's just a very random team to pick.
I know. I mean, are you trying to get Gundy? I'm just trying to figure out, like, who asked for this? Like, I don't want to be disrespectful.
I don't know.
Who asked? You know, we don't know enough about Oklahoma State football. We just need to know more about those folks. I'm just wondering about the behind the scenes. I mean, again, it's not that there aren't some interesting elements here, but you can't even say that they're acting on a hunch that Oklahoma State's going to win the league, because it's really about who's going to finish second behind Oklahoma, right? I mean, there's not even buzz about
Oklahoma State.
Why not go behind the scenes of
Chuba, I guess. And Mike Gundy is a walking soundbite, for better or worse.
It's weird. Like, why would you not pick North Carolina with Mack Brown? The rise of UNC. Why would you not do that? Why would you not go behind the scenes of, like, LSU because all the players and coaches are gone? Like, why would you not do that? What about Tom Herman? This is kind of a big year for them, right? Mm-hmm. What about David Shaw? Like, why did y'all suck last year? give us some behind the scenes there. Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
The main reason why I brought up this headline was the randomness of it. I have never once thought, gosh, I wish I had more access to the Oklahoma State football program. I've never thought that. It was just odd.
It's not even like they have a gregarious set of coaches, like notoriously gregarious.
I mean, Mike Gundy is pretty gregarious.
Yeah, but outside of Gundy, Is there anybody? I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, the Tua-days. The reason Tua-days worked at Hoover is because they had like a dozen people that were interesting. And you can't just make that up. You can't just make up interesting.
Well, nothing will be as good as Tua-days. That was...
Right?
Tua-days should have won an Emmy, frankly.
Both Rush Probst families
Excellent
gave
work.
It two thumbs up.
Excellent
and that's all I'll
work.
Say about that. Yeah, I'm not... I can't think of a single more random place to go do a
documentary. I don't know. Now, what I think it might be, because I remember I'm an ESPN Plus subscriber, and what I saw last year, we never talked about it, and I never watched it, and I don't think anyone really watched it, but they did do an all-access with Kansas with Les Miles.
Okay.
And it was called, like, Miles to Go or something. So maybe that's the part of it, because ESPN does have some sort of deal with the Big 12, right? And they've got some ESPN Plus stuff. Maybe that's part of the deal, is we do an ESPN Plus series with one of these Big 12 teams. And last year it was Kansas. This year it's Okie State. That might be the reasoning.
You know, that does feel, particularly with ESPN Plus, where they're trying to get people subscribed because a lot of Big 12 games are on ESPN Plus. Like, way too many.
A lot of basketball, too many. Too.
Yeah. I mean, there were some big games this year. Like, I swear there was a Kansas and somebody, Kansas and Texas maybe, that was on ESPN Plus. It was like the best game of the weekend.
It's what happens
on ESPN
when
Plus one time.
Longhorn Network takes your network.
I got to say, I know you think A&M is loathsome. I think Texas is almost as bad. because
and
that Longhorn Network.
We got to go to break.
That Longhorn Network is like the worst thing ever. It really is the worst thing that's ever happened.
We got to go to break.
We do. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
One day, your Honda, Acura, Lexus, or Toyota is going to need an oil change. And there's that question, where do I take it? Before you make that decision, ask yourself what you're getting. Do they test drive your vehicle? Do they rotate your tires? Do they glance at the brakes? Or remove the tires and provide an exact measurement of your brake pads? What about suspension? Fluids? At First Class Halt, an oil change means so much more than routine maintenance. Come experience the difference. FirstClassHalt.com, your dealership alternative in Anderson and Greenville.
It's a great time to get a new 2020 Ranger Supergroup 4x4 from George Coleman Ford. This XLT features 4x4 transmission with a 2.3-liter engine, just $33,580 plus tax and tag at George Coleman Ford in Travelers Rest, where you never pay any hidden fees. Another reason why their customer service ratings are the highest around. Get your 2020 Ranger 4x4 today at George Coleman Ford in Travelers Rest. Includes $1,000 rebate. Offer expires July 6, 2020.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Thompson and King want you to know that there has been an important change in veterans' rights. Vets or widows of vets who served in Vietnam in the Navy may now be able to receive Agent Orange benefits. Public Law 11623 is known as the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Vets Act of 2019. These Blue Water claimants may also be eligible if their claims were previously denied. If you or your deceased spouse served in Vietnam in the Navy, please call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. It's a great time to get in a new 2020 F-150 from George Coleman Ford. This crew cab edition features SDX appearance package, 20-inch aluminum wheels, reverse sensing, and rear camera, along with SYNC 3 and 2.7-liter engine. Just $35,587 plus tax and tag at George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. You never pay any hidden fees. Another reason why their customer service ratings are the highest around. Get your 2020 F-150 today at George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Includes $4,500 rebate, plus finance with Ford Motor Credit. Offer expires July 6, 2020.
Recapping the headlines from yesterday and looking at what's coming up today, the Mickey Plyler Show, weekday mornings on The Roar.
See my share of broken halos, golden wings that used to fly.
All right, final segment of the program. We appreciate you joining us today on Out of Bounds. Final segment of the week. We'll be back on Monday. Tomorrow is National Kelly's Birthday Day.
Indeed.
So we're off celebrating that, which should be a national holiday, along with a bunch of other things. And then July 3rd, the entire station's off. We hope that you all have a very safe and healthy and distant, but closely distant. Close emotionally, but not socially
but
or physically.
But still relaxing, because all need that these days.
But fun, yes. All these self-contradictory things, we hope you enjoy them all simultaneously during this long and hopefully quite patriotic weekend. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by our very good friends Sean and Tim from Sock 'em Dog Brewing and Gastropub. We got to talk to them this week. They are doing amazingly well, and the reason has got to be twofold. One, you can eat outside and drink outside at this brewery and gastropub. That is not what we're hearing. You know, Fauci's out there yesterday talking about bars are very bad. Well, bars where you can sit outside, that was a pretty good Fauci, wasn't it? Bars are fine if you can sit outside and you can be distant, and you can with Sock 'em Dog. And the other thing, Kelly, is the food. They've got regulars who rave about the food, and it's only a matter of time before you join that group, because their food is outstanding.
There's no doubt about it, Kwok. And one thing I know about millennials, being one, I know you're one too. We love a good brewery. I mean, just love it. And so the vibe here at Sock'em Dog is excellent in the mountains in Walhalla. So you can see the mountains, a great view on the porch, a little cooler up there as well. So hopefully it's not super hot when you head out there, but great flatbreads, burgers, wings, and a huge selection of craft beers. You're going to want to check out Sock'em Dog Brewing and Gastropub. One of the best ways to get in touch with them and to see what's going on is on Facebook at Sock'em Dog Brewing and Gastropub. They have their menu there. They've got live music at different times of the week, so you can check that out on Facebook. So I would suggest that. They're at 1308 Falcons Drive in Walhalla. That's Sock'em Dog Brewing and Gastropub.
Give me a 1 through 10 on that Fauci. Was that decent?
That's pretty good.
You've heard him talk quite a bit. I mean, he's out there.
I don't know if his accent is that
New York. It's pretty thick. He's got the gravelly part too. You got to have the gravel. Like, you can't just Dick Vitale it. You got to gravel it.
Then
you have to New York it.
Let's have an honest moment right now.
Yeah.
How tall do we think Fauci is?
Oh, he's like 5'5".
5'5", you think?
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
Not a very tall guy.
No,
yeah.
No, not very tall.
Not a very tall guy.
But still, that's okay. We don't.
Yeah,
height is not an important requirement for disease specialists.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not even sure why you brought it up. That seems offensive.
A question. I was just wondering. I've just been curious how tall Fauci is. That's all.
I got you. All right. We have a Florida man.
Oh, we do.
I am so ready for the Florida man.
Oh, we do. This one. There are two main portion or main aspects of this Florida man story that are just outrageous. And if you want to see the guy's mugshot, which I think really completes the story, you'll have to Google him. The mugshot is something else. This is from clickorlando.com. Florida man in stolen ambulance leads law enforcement on multi-county chase, officials say.
Okay.
This is in Flagler County. A Florida man is behind bars after the Flagler County Sheriff's Office said he stole an ambulance that was idling outside a hospital. Thankfully, there were no patients in it. It was about 2:30 a.m., and he walks up to the crew. They had just unloaded a patient. It's sitting there idling, and he asks the crew for a ride. He said, "Can I go for a ride in the ambulance?" And they said, "No, you cannot do that." So then he chose to steal it, and deputies were eventually able to catch up with him, and the ambulance was traveling on state road, blah, blah, blah. They finally found him, but it went through multiple counties. Here's the kicker. He is currently in jail, blah, blah, blah. His name, Quack, it's just amazing. And I don't know if this is his real name. I'm assuming it's his real name because this is what they're identifying him in this new story, and this is probably his legal name. His name is Keith Peacock. Because, of course, Keith Peacock stole an ambulance and drove away in Florida recently. And you need to Google Keith Peacock and check out his mugshot because it is something else. He's got
That's
a little
fantastic.
Bit of a Santa Claus beard going.
So I got to say, this has a little Paul Blart Mall Cop feel to it because how do you let him just take...
I don't know. How
does
he just get in there?
The matter of factness of, like... No, you can't drive in the ambulance. So he stole it. There is a long way for. If somebody asks if they can take a ride in your ambulance, you got to be at least a little suspicious that guy's going to try to joyride
in
your ambulance.
Keep an eye on him. And if I don't know if he introduced himself, but he said, "Hello there. My name is Keith Peacock. I'd like to take a ride in your ambulance." I'm keeping an eye on him. You know,
right? Because
just to
I'm
be
thinking,
clear.
Well, that's not real. That name's made up. You're not
Keith Peacock.
That's not you.
Chad the mailman gets in. He says, "I believe it. I've had people ask me for a ride in my mail truck."
With all the mail?
Where would they sit?
I honestly, I'm not sure what mail trucks look like in that back part. Can you just ride in the back?
I don't know.
Is there mail in the back?
Did they ask for a ride or did they ask to drive your mail truck? I think that's a big difference, too. And was their name Keith Peacock, and were you in Florida? Could be the same guy.
The same person. Lord. Good job, Florida.
Way to go, Florida.
We could have just said Florida's just blowing out records with coronavirus.
Yeah.
That feels like a lot of Florida men.
And I get that it's definitely not a good time to be stealing an ambulance, so I would really encourage Keith Peacock and others to not do that, because I think we need the ambulances right now.
Keith Peacock and others.
Keith Peacock at all.
Fantastic.
Texter says, I know an art peacock. 100% believable. Oh, married to Mrs. Peacock from Clue.
Oh, no, no, no. My gosh.
That is excellent.
That is fantastic. There's a joke in there about what happened when he got home after being arrested or after they bailed him out. And, like, she did it in the whatever room, in the kitchen with the candlestick or whatever. Mm-hmm. God, that's really good. What a great game. I do, too. We used to play it all the time. We used to play it when the power would go out. I don't know why. I guess it feels like a mysterious game. You'd be surprised, Kelly. There were some times there over in Moonville. All right. You want to go to the – look, maybe for the second half of the year, we got to make it a point. We're not just going to Lindsey Buckingham these topics anymore, okay? We got to get through these topics. Yeah. So we have 8 minutes.
Sure.
We have like 12 players to go. We got to give quick thoughts on the 20 people who have swung the 2020 college football season. We got almost halfway through yesterday. Are you up for the challenge to get this done in the next 8 minutes?
Let's go.
Okay. Derek King, quarterback Miami, go. Is it a big name swinging the season?
Oh, man. I don't think he has. I don't think
and
he,
we're not going to make
oh,
it.
Oh, man. I don't think he has enough around him. So, I don't know. I just don't have faith in Miami. I don't think he's going to be that important.
Let me ask this. If Derek King plays well, does Miami have a chance to win the division?
Probably.
If he doesn't play well, does Miami have a chance to win the division?
No way.
All right. Then he's the name.
Yeah.
You got to give him some credit.
True.
Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State, already exercising his authority to swing the 2020 college football season, as it were.
Oh, for sure. Chuba is on this list, no doubt. Now, can he carry Okie State on his back to a possible Big 12 championship? I think it matters how Chuba plays, of course, but the bigger factor probably in the Big 12 is how Spencer Rattler plays. So Chuba is incredibly important, but a lot of it just hinges on how good Oklahoma is.
I agree with that. He was really good last year and couldn't swing the 2020 college football season. The only way is if he gets in a Heisman contention. That would be the only thing. That would be his way, other than the team way, where that's got to be a Spencer Sanders thing,
mm-hmm.
where Spencer Sanders is the difference there. Kellen Mond. Let me just say my thing on Kellen Mond. I think Kellen Mond could swing 2020 college football season. If they had a Space Jam experience and he got all the talent from all the superstars and actual great players, he could definitely play well, like the Monstars.
Quack, I have a message for the national media with when they keep bringing up Kellen Mond.
Let it go!
Let it go! You've tried for 3 years to make him into a star. He has yet to become a star. Kellen Mond is not swinging any college football season. Next question, please.
Give me some thought on Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, the end.
Yeah, I think Kayvon Thibodeau could be
I think it's Thibodeau.
He's going to be a big factor for Oregon because I would imagine whatever 4-star QB and or Anthony Brown, they start early on. Oregon's going to have to rely on that defense as the offense gets settled in. So he's going to be incredibly important, especially against Ohio State if they have a chance to win that game. So Kayvon Thibodeau is extremely important.
Remember when Oregon played for the national championship and they had a couple of 5-stars on their defense? Now they're starting to get a couple of 5-stars on the defense again, and Thibodeau is the one. He's got to show out. He's got to be good off the edge. Double-digit sacks. He's got to have double-digit sacks for Oregon. Mm-hmm. Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah. Big, big factor. Sam Howell, if they can win the Coastal, if they can possibly play for the ACC. I mean, heck, if they're undefeated and play Clemson in the ACC championship and lose, then they're going to a big-time BCS bowl or New Year's Six, whatever. If they have one loss and then somehow upset Clemson in the ACC championship and you have chaos elsewhere, UNC could be looking at the playoff. They'd have to beat Clemson, though. That's a big task, I know, but they almost did it last year.
How about this? Tommy Rees, offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Brand new.
He's 28 years old, and he's the OC at Notre Dame.
Yep.
That's crazy.
With a lot of expectations.
That's crazy.
Because Ian Book is right there.
Is he? You know, anything,
he is right there.
Anything that takes responsibility away from Brian Kelly, I think I'm in favor of.
Oof. That's not great. Is it? Do you think it's going to be a good move or a bad move going from, we'll talk about this more in the coming weeks and months, from Chip Long to Tommy Rees.
I just have no idea. This guy's so young. He's so inexperienced. We'll see what happens. He could be kind of that next wonder kid in college football, but I don't see Notre Dame truly contending this year.
Okay.
Regardless.
They lost all their skill. So if it is, if they are going to get back where they are, it feels like a Tommy Rees thing. Like if they are going to be as good as they were last year offensively, it feels like his deal. Trey Sermon, Ohio State, running back. The running back, y'all.
Huge. This guy is so important for Ohio State. This is huge. Not only that he's on Ohio State's roster and gives them a threat to replace J.K. Dobbins, but he's not on Oklahoma's roster. So you have the double whammy there.
What about Master Teague? I know he got hurt. Is he coming back at all? Is he out for the year?
Oh, Master Teague. What a great name.
That is a great name. More on that later.
He might still be on the... I think he's still on the roster.
Yeah.
He's still on the roster.
I don't know that he's out for the... If he's out for the year, then it's Sermon or bust. I feel like Teague can help him. But I think Sermon's going to have to be the workhorse, certainly. Especially after the Achilles injury there. What about Kyle Trask, your boy?
Yeah, Kyle Trask in the SEC East. I think how Kyle Trask plays is going to determine that division. If he can take another step forward with that Florida offense, because the defense is still going to be very sound, they can beat Georgia. Now, a lot of that depends on how quickly can Jamie Newman fit into Georgia and things like that, but I still think Kyle Trask has the upper hand.
They lost like four receivers to the NFL. That's crazy.
Yeah, Chad I am Morris. Worried about that.
Chad Morris, OC Auburn now.
Oh, man. It feels like you're mixing opposites when you mix Chad Morris and Bo Nix. So I'm intrigued how this is going to go. Chad Morris could be... He is probably one of the factors on this list, one of the 20 people that we aren't talking about enough. But I don't know what to say about these programs that have these changes and are trying to move in a different direction or somewhat different direction with no spring football. I don't know how you do that.
Here's what I'll say about Morris. He can tap into Bo Nix as a passer, maybe even better than Malzahn can without losing the offensive identity. This is the best move Malzahn's made since he gave up play calling, honestly.
I'm with it. I'm worried about it because they did not have a spring.
True. All right, let's go Daxton Hill, safety, Michigan.
I'm not really buying this. The author says if Michigan's secondary can step up and this is their missing piece, then they could be elite. Is that all Michigan's missing?
Yeah, lower ceiling.
Good secondary play?
Low ceiling. What about Todd Orlando, defensive coordinator, USC?
I'm not really buying USC at this point. I'm sure he can make somewhat of a difference, but I don't think it's a big enough difference for USC to win the Pac-12.
I think he's a significant upgrade over